We declare unto you that God is light. Now that means that the Son of God is light. That means whoever is the Son of God is light. That means when you are aware that you are the Son of God, you are light. There's nothing else to be. The light of God. We don't often act like the light. We act like a human being. And all the way good ones or bad ones, there's no light in a human being of which he is aware. Someday it'll be wonderful to look out at a person, maybe your neighbor, maybe your competitor, and say, are you the light of God in your heart? And he says, yes. Are you? Yes. Then we're not competitors. We're on the same team, aren't we? Nobody feels like that in the world. They all feel like they're going about their own thing. I'll get there first. We don't have to worry about getting there first. If you get there last or first, what's the difference? If ye are the light, you don't even control the speed at which you go. We say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness. We lie. Do not have the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light. Now, we all want to walk in the light. We just don't think you're going to come to the light in 5 seconds. You're going to have to build something inside yourself which insists that I must be the light or I'm not going to go on like this. And I must find the method, the way. We have fellowship one with another and with the blood of Jesus Christ. I wonder how many of us think we have fellowship with the blood of Jesus Christ. How many of us are seeking the fellowship? His Son. Cleanseth us from all sin. When we have reached a place in consciousness where light is coming through, we have fellowship with Jesus Christ. When the light is coming through, we are cleansed from all sin. That means we are cleansed from anything unlike the Father. I don't suppose John was talking to the moon. He was teaching us that we can be cleansed of all mortality. That's all sin is. mortality. He's a sinner or he's a mortal, they're the same thing. He can even be a good mortal, he's still a sinner, because he hasn't reached the blood of Christ. I can't for a minute imagine that I have to spend my entire life and not find this Christ. It just is impossible. I know at the end or in the middle or somewhere the Christ is mine and I am the Christ. I won't tolerate anything else. I've got to do it. That's number one, number five, number ten, number 500. And until you are the Christ realized, it won't matter what you do in this world. Jesus Christ was in the world to teach us that we have to be the Christ. Nothing can be more specific than the fact that he represented God on earth. How could you and I walk independent of him when he is life? And without life, we have nothing. Just think of the miracle that sends the Christ into the form of Jesus on life, in life. And we see him, we talk to him, we touch him. Even those fishermen at the beginning knew nothing about him. And they weren't some powerful secret society. There weren't 12 men who had a special deep intelligence. They were simple men. Now, if we were able, just think, if we were able to walk with that group, if you were number 3 and I were number 6 and you were number 9, if we were the 12, certainly we would know more than we know now without going to college, without winning any award, without anything. We would be more advanced than we are now. We wouldn't need any human honors. One touch of the Christ supersedes all that is in the world. You could have been Philip, not particularly intelligent, as you could see. He made no bones about Philip being overly bright. Or Peter. You might have said, who's Peter? He's just a fisherman. He's a loudmouth. But these men were privileged to walk on the same ground, to eat at the same table, to know one individual who was, to all extent, all visible purposes, the same as they. But they figured he was a holier man. And they looked at him. It didn't take any convincing. They just knew there was something special here. So he was there. We don't have him here. You can't find him. But he was there so that we can know he is here. He was there in a body. You can imagine lots of people in the world then never got to the place where they saw him. But his light was universal. And if we see the Christ as if we were there with him, we can realize that it is not just fidelity, loyalty to him. We are accepting when we say, I, we are accepting the word to mean something other than this person. As long as it takes us to realize it, we finally get the knowledge that somehow we, you, I, me, him, her, ultimately must realize that the Christ is who we are. And that is identity. Here, it's in a book. 12 men go with Jesus Christ. Eventually, they have enough faith in him to leave the world. They know they have attained the Christhood. You've got to reach the place where you find, through one way or another, or through 10 ways, that as you make contact with the Spirit of Christ, something happens to you. Here's this man who is visible, and if you just touch him, you change. Everything that was wrong becomes right. He walks into a strange town and talks to people. They all want to talk to him. They all realize that there's something special here. Now, you don't have that. You just got the book that tells you about that. It is not less true because they tell you about it. And if you think it is, that's fine, but you have an opportunity to prove to yourself that it's not less true. Because when you touch something, or when someone touches something for you, something happens. Something so incredible that when it happens, you can't compose yourself. You're all shaken up. The visitation of a light through you and bringing something to you that you've never seen in your life. Something that isn't on the earth. And there it is. You're speechless. You didn't bring it to you. But you did something that was very powerful. Somehow you got out of your personal sense of living. You were out of your mind, you might say, but you were. You touched the Christ. And then everything happens. You're looking into the vast ocean of time. It's not there anymore. You see a giant in front of you. Who is this person? He doesn't even talk to you. He just nods, smiles. And then you notice His hands are working something on the side of him. He's just pressing out the flowers that are lying on a rock. He straightens them out. He looks back at you, smiles. Well, this, how does it happen? You just, it doesn't happen in your mind. You can't, it's just something has happened to you. You can't control. You don't understand it. But this giant is still in front of you. And he's going to listen to you if you want to talk to him. You could say something, and you do finally. And he looks at you, and he doesn't say it, but he just nods and smiles. And this is not this world. It is another world. But he's right here. Well, you're right there, whatever you call it. You're with each other. And you're such a small little fellow. He's so big. This is what you waited for. This is what all the books said would happen. It's happening now. And you strangely don't feel that there's a you there. There's no bones. There's no... You're not a physical being. You don't know why, but you're not a physical being. You're an intelligence. You look. You say, what can I say to this man? I don't know what to say to him. And then you gather courage. And you say something. You ask him a question. Sometimes it's very startling what you ask him because you're so taken out of yourself, you can't believe it. If I could copyright what happens and have it with me always. But anyway, you say something to him. And when you look back, you're just amazed that he even acknowledged it. It was so silly. And he says something to you that you can't understand at first. He says, I will be with you always. It isn't something you read in a book. It's something that comes out of the man. I will be with you always. Now, if nobody believes it, it doesn't matter. You're not going to tell it to anybody unless it's someone that you want definitely to know that he said to you, I will be with you always. And you thought he was speaking, but it wasn't a voice that anybody around you would have heard. He was wired to you as if it came in a strange way. And you're so taken aback by the statement, it takes you 5 minutes before you act again. He will be with me always. I heard it. How can that happen to you and leave you the same? You're not the same person once it's said. You have heard, and it seems to you that you have heard something that no one in the world could have heard. And even you couldn't have heard it. So something has happened where you're in a different place when you hear it. You're not the same person who started out. You've been lifted to a higher level. You've been lifted above the fourth world. Maybe it's the fifth, maybe it's the sixth, maybe it's the seventh. But in that world, someone you recognize, and you're even afraid to say it, said to you, I will be with you always. Again, he presses the flowers. The robe, well, it seems like it's sort of flimsy, made of a, not silk necessarily, like a rayon or something. But I'm sure it has no fabric to it. It's a sort of a pale purple, maybe a touch blue. And of all things, the man looks like Christ, like your concept of Christ. Seems to have a beard, flowing hair, black, hair coming down. Well, maybe that happened a long time ago, and you know, no matter how long it passes, you still remember it. You remember it as something beyond yourself. You can't forget it. In retrospect, you look back on him and you say, I didn't see, there was a form there in that, but I never saw any form. It was in that lightweight robe he wore. It was not transparent, but it was lightweight. What was in that robe? Body? I don't know. Maybe not. It looked like a body. And yet, you know, there was a funny thing. You never saw his feet. I never saw any feet. Never saw any feet at all. But the man stood so tall that the ocean behind him was not visible. And he was a man who smiled. A nice smile. A friendly smile. Easily. And I suppose as long as you walk the earth, you remember that. You think back that you said to him, well, I'll tell you what you said to him. Will you have dinner with me? And he said, I'll sup with you always. Whenever you ask me. That means 20 years from now, if you ask me to sup with you, I will. 40 years from now, 100, 1,000. Whenever you ask me, I will sup with you. Now, you can tell me that the world is on fire. I won't believe it, because this man, this self, this Christ, is always the protector of every individual on earth, but not as a physical form. Though the life of every individual is that life. That one life is the life of all. And if it sounds silly to people, I don't care. I really don't. Because you're not going to tell people. You're just going to live with the knowledge that I have finally, somehow, I don't know why, something has broken through that I was enabled to speak to the one who determines everything for me. And since that moment, it's been such an incredible world. There's no way to describe it. And that happened when I met Joel, strangely, about 2 weeks in there. Since then, I have found similar visions, but not too many. Similar ways that the Spirit has contacted me and talk and saying things that human beings have not heard, but always saying them so I would feel, oh, it's happening again. I must be outside of myself because it's happening again. It's saying things that I have wondered about, things that I were even afraid to ask. It's taken me beyond the world. It's shown me everything that I have to know. Almost. And that's where the strength comes from. You don't know what you can do until Christ makes you do it. You just don't know what you can do. And then along comes this problem, that problem, the other. And Christ takes you in a way you know not of. You find an answer. Or before you have to do something, Christ lifts you up out into the infinite universe. All the pieces are assembled and you come back to earth. There it is. God's computer is incredible. It never needs fixing or repairs. It's always there. I will be with you always. And you know, even though you haven't heard it, it's not meant for one being. The person who heard it only for himself. It was spoken to everybody in the universe. They didn't hear it. They weren't listening, able to listen. But it's true of everybody. I will be with you always. I don't care if you were there. It was said to you. And if you weren't listening, it was still said to you. Nothing is spoken to an individual. It is spoken to the universal Son of God. Everything said to one Son is said to the Son everywhere. You are not separated from the Son of God. So whatever was said to me or him or her was said to all of us. Even the things that were said to Jesus Christ were said to all of us. And I suppose that's one of the reasons that we will find Jesus appeared on earth. To show us that what I do, you will do. I heal the multitudes, you will heal the multitudes. I heal the sick, you will heal the sick. Everything I do, you will do, because you are I. Here and there, one hears these words and appreciates the truth of them. You are I. And that figure, that doesn't appear in the world now, appears to many, many in their contemplations, in their spiritual moments. And everything that figure says to anyone is a truth for all. Please know that. No one is preferred above you. There isn't anyone above you or anyone divided from you. If you could see yourself in the invisible, you would see the connection. This is all one self, right here. All one. The short, the fat, the ugly, the nice looking, all one. The color of the skin makes, it's such a ludicrous nothing. We are all one. You can't take it away. It'll always be that way. And until you find the truth of that, until you find the identity that is out of this world, out of this body, you won't know that except by hearsay. And so we've got to find the path that leads from nowhere, which is in the body, to somewhere, which is in the kingdom. That's all we're looking for, the path from nowhere to somewhere, from earth to heaven. And don't think heaven is up there. It isn't. Heaven is everywhere. And the pipeline to heaven is built upon your understanding that the Spirit of God is your Father. The Spirit of God is where your source is. Who can take that away from you? Your source is God. You are one with God. You are not separated from source. God doesn't send us out and then forget us. You are one with source. Each is one with source. And the Father tells us something we dare not believe, but we must. You are as perfect as God. And you say, how can I be as perfect as God? Well, you don't know who you are. You think you're a little pygmy called a human being. Come on, you know better than that. You're told. You got to believe. You got to understand. You are perfect as God. When your boss says to you, who do you think you are? You're not going to answer him, I'm perfect as God. But you are. And he's ever with me. But I'll tell you the truth, he's ever with you. He's ever with us. We're going to be surprised when the fact that we are the living Christ slowly permeates this consciousness. Because that's what's going to happen. I'm going to go right ahead and say that we're all going to die. Each one of us. And we're all going to die for a minute. Let's die together right now. So we're dead. But look around you. It won't be any different. When we're all dead together, it's just like being alive together. We're dead then. And how can the dead die? We are living dead all the time until we find Christ. Only we don't realize it. We think we're smart and we're this and we're that. Maybe we have a touch of the Christhood alive in us. Some have a little greater touch. But to be touched by the Christ, the transformation begins. I can think back 35, 40 years when I came to Joel. Well, how tolerant he was is all I can say. We can all think back. We see people as they appear to us now. Gosh, they so negative, so problems all over the place, and so incapable of living the good life, responding to the higher level. And then we see them 30 years later, and some of them have changed. I've seen people in 30 years that have definitely proven to me that progress is possible. I've seen people who are not such desirable people to know some time ago, and today they indicate that they've got an inside informant teaching them certain things that you only learn from the Christ. You've seen the changes in friends. And some of us have seen the changes in our parents. It comes gradually. And when we know that, even though the change didn't come in this lifetime, it's going to come in their next lifetime, we finally can see that God's plan is perfect. God has never lost a soul. Not one. Humans may think it has happened, but God has never lost a soul. It's been a tough training period for a lot of them. Not one soul is lost. Everybody is in that same ship. Some sink, some are saved, some are not saved. All come eventually to truth. There's no time, you know, there in heaven. I should say here in heaven. The time isn't there. There's no clocks going around and around. Things are 25 years ahead or 25 years back are all at the same time. That which seems ahead and that which seems behind isn't. Now is the only time. Everything in the kingdom of God is now. The only place these differences appear is in the mental version of time, the mental version of the higher faculties. So we have time, stretch things out in the past and present and the future, but they all vanish. As soon as you find that you have been elevated, and that's got to come sooner or later. That's what's coming. As long as it takes, you'll be elevated. And when you're elevated, you'll say, where's time? You won't even know it existed. Someone will have to remind you, well, that was in the previous lifetime when, you know, we had to time things out. And this new thing that you're going to learn about timelessness will be very exciting, but maybe when you learn it, it won't be so exciting because you just figure, whoever heard of time, you know. It's like a civil war. It's way in the past. And then you start to realize that there was no past. Somebody built all that story about a civil war, unemployment, hungry people, this people, that people. It was a great big fable, but it was necessary. There are no people in heaven. Even we as people are not in heaven. Our reality is in heaven now. Our reality is in heaven now. Well, we're all making the journey together. Some seems faster and some seems slower. Some are more determined that I'm going to do it my way. Others are willing to do it someone else's way. But I know this, that my orders don't come from people. And that your orders don't come from people. Your orders come from an invisible source. And they're the only orders that count. And I'm thankful that I can share with you your presence. Because we're all learning from one another. In some way, we each teach each other. We all learn that. We're all going. And the only place we're going to is called wake up. We're not moving an inch. We think we are. We just wake up gradually. I'm looking forward to the wake up. I know you are. We'll look out. I don't know what we're going to see when we get there. But we're going to see something that we want to see. The Father will still be running his universe. And will be the only one in it. Only the Father and his Son. We are all one son. You are the son of God. I am the son of God. And we're not different ones. We're one son. A little harmony between us would be helpful, wouldn't it? Considering we are the same self. So I'll meditate now. I am the Son of God. I accept, I know, I acknowledge. I acknowledge everything taught by Jesus Christ. Everything. Sight unseen. Therefore, I accept everything taught by Jesus Christ. Even whether I disagree or not, I accept it. I know that any disagreement I might have might be a momentary fault of mine, but I can't agree with something if I don't know it so. Fortunately, I can agree with every word I read in the Bible. I can't find a word to disagree with. Can you? What can we disagree with? It's all what we are. Who we are. How we are. When we are. The Father says we're wonderful. Slowly we learn to discard the human habits, the human beliefs. More slowly we learn to disregard the human body. Some of us have progressed a little bit. Parts of this human body are accepted, parts are not. What we will discover is that it's not here to be accepted. Just we think it is. It's on that screen, just like a TV screen. And we're putting it on the screen. And the world mind above us is helping us. And it's really doing its job, which is thankless because it is serving to us the unreality. Thank you, Father. Hesitate to acknowledge my stupidities, but I know they're there. But I think I'm learning. I'd like to feel that we're learning. We're coming closer in some way out of the darkness into the light. Every mistake that we learn from brings us a little closer to the light. I can almost feel that we can learn how to feed the 5,000. We can learn to raise the dead? We can learn to look at all of the hospitals in the world and realize that there's no one there. I said no one. I don't know of a son of God who's in a hospital. We recognize none of the illnesses, and some of us have proven that. There's a gigantic task ahead, and we're making it. We're coming. We want the task. We want to solve it. We want to live through it. We want to prove. So no God aright is all we have to do.